December.
Oh, I think we're fine. If you want to, would you just take that back to Sharon? Thank you. Seems like my mind is on so many passages of Scripture tonight. I hope and pray the Lord will just settle it, and that will go where He would have me to go. I do feel a great need of your prayers, and appreciate again just the opportunity to stand before you and speak a word in His name. The Lord has truly blessed us in our lives, and the sweet privilege of being here tonight just to thank Him for what He's done is a great, great blessing to the Lord's people. And I hope you and I tonight really understand that. We've met to worship and adore the Lord our God. And we meet His brethren, brothers and sisters in Christ, those called out of nature's darkness unto His marvelous light. I'd like to read to you tonight a very familiar passage that I've spoken from many times before, but it's very much seemingly at this point impressed on my mind. So we'll look at Matthew chapter 11 tonight. I'd like to begin reading at verse 25. If you have your Bibles and would like to turn with me, I certainly encourage you to do that. We'll read down through the end of this 11th chapter of Matthew, and the Lord would give us liberty to speak from it the things that He would lay on our hearts. If I get to do nothing other than read it in your hearing and not able to say anything else, it's still good to hear. That's a blessed thing to hear the Word of God read in our hearing. Verse 25 of Matthew chapter 11 says, "At that time Jesus answered and said, I thank Thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because Thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in Thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father, save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." These are the words of our Master, the words of our Savior, the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, the words of the Son of God, the words of the one called Wonderful, the one called Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the words of the Prince of Peace. And this wonderful Lord, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, is teaching here and answering those that were really in rebellion, some of them, and in unbelief. And He says, "I thank Thee, O Lord, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because Thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes." Now, in the world, that seems like a very strange statement. Among primitive Baptists and those who believe in the doctrines of grace, doesn't sound strange at all, because we understand that in order to know anything about the things of God, it has to be by His revelation. It has to be by that which He gives us. Outside of God's grace, if man is left to himself, he'll never have enough wisdom to know the things of God. He'll never have enough of the knowledge, no knowledge in this world, all of the understanding the world can give him, all the schools of education, all of the houses, even church houses, meeting houses, that would make an effort to try to give man a spiritual understanding through the natural means and methodologies of men will come to absolutely no benefit. In order to know the things of God at all, to know Jesus, to know God the Father, to know spiritual things, to have an appreciation for the Word of God, to have an appreciation for the Gospel, in order for any of that to take place, one has to be brought out of a state that we're in by nature, which is a state of death. Ephesians 2:1 says, "And you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sins. One of the first things that has to happen in our lives in order to begin to serve God is to be born again. We have to be born again. It's not only one of the first things. It is the first thing that must take place. You must be born again. We heard this weekend, those that said there were many who had made efforts to write many volumes of books about how to get born again and how you can do this or do that or some other thing to get born again. There are many of God's little children that are worried to death about how it is that I can be sure that I'm born again or that I can get myself born again. Some have proceeded to try to do all kinds of things in order to get themselves into favor with God. I know about that because I spent many years after that. I know some of you also fell into those same efforts, and you tried to get good enough, tried to go to church enough, tried to read your Bible enough, tried to follow the Lord enough, and your hopes were that if I did those things enough and followed the, if I dotted all the I's and crossed all the T's and got everything just right, that I would finally reach that place where I knew of a surety and absolutely, and by my efforts, I would be born again in the sense of becoming from a state of death to life. And the reality is that if you've made those efforts and you're trying to reach out to Him and you love the Lord, but you're trying to feel Him, you want to know that He's yours, you want to know that you belong to Him, you want to follow Him, you may have messed up in so many, many ways, but you feel that you have surely come short in your life, that all is an evidence that somewhere in your life already God has born you again of His Spirit. It isn't something you got to get done, it's something that's been done. It's a work of Almighty God. Now tonight I might want to born you again, but I can't do that. I might want to cause one that's dead. I might want to go up to the cemetery tonight and cause one of them in the grave to come forth and give them life. I might want to have one of my loved ones who has died to be restored to life. I might desire a lot of things, but all of my efforts cannot do that. We know I can't do that because life doesn't belong in the hands of man. We don't have the potential or the ability to do that. I can't preach life into you tonight. As a matter of fact, if you don't already have life given to you by Almighty God, if that isn't already taking place, everything that I might do in a spiritual way, or any efforts that I would have in a way of wisdom or intellect or making it simple or making it plain or writing it down A, B, C and get everything just right will be of absolute no benefit and no avail, because the Bible says that it pleased the Father. Jesus' words was that it pleased the Father to hide these things. They're hidden from the wise and prudent. That means from the wisdom of this world. And they're revealed to babes. That means His little children, by the way, are babes. You're tonight a bunch, you're babies. We're babies. I'm not insulting you. Oh, I pray that I am one of His little children. I pray that I am tonight a little babe. I pray tonight that we come, as the brother said, come as little newborn babes desiring the sincere milk of the Word. That we're here not tonight to get our heads filled with a lot of stuff, but rather have our hearts touched with the truth of God's Word, to where you and I can be just like that hymn writer wrote, a little closer. Lord, I want to be closer to Thee. I want to walk more with Thee. I want to be able to talk to Thee. I need Thee, Lord, to keep my home the way it is. I need Thee, Lord, to keep my marriage the way it is. I need Thee, Lord, to keep my family the way it is. I need Thee, Lord, to keep me thinking like I'm supposed to, because I'm so prone to wander. I'm so bent for backsliding. I'm a little sheep that seems like I can go astray so, so very quickly. You feel that way? I'm telling you, only God's children feel that way. It isn't the dead that feel that way. The dead feel nothing at all spiritually. They love the world and the things of the world. They're interested in the world. And if a church turns worldly, it'll fill its doors and fill its pews with people who are looking for the worldly entertainment of this world. But if we speak the things we're supposed to speak and do the things we're supposed to do, we send out a spiritual message and a spiritual light and become that little city set on a hill, shining forth the light of the Lord Jesus Christ from this place, and we carry that, taking the name of Jesus with us, we carry it out into this world. And God's little children who love the Lord and have a desire to follow Him, oh, they may be tangled up in the weeds and the brambles and the bushes and the hedges and all kinds of mess in this world. Can God's little children get in the mess? I'm telling you, all you have to do is read the Scriptures. You can see David when he was in a mess. We see David, a man after the Lord's own heart, mighty in battle when he stood with Goliath, had all the power in this world. But then you see that same David messing up with Bathsheba, and they're destroying so many, not only his lives, but other lives. But I want you to know God's little child, little son, David, was not forsaken, but rather God came to him and blessed him and gave to him that forgiveness that he cried out for. And matter of fact, he not only cried out for that forgiveness, but God gave him the heart to cry for it, and then gave him the forgiveness. Isn't it wonderful to have a God who works on both ends of it? Listen, He can heal your life. And He not only can heal it, He is the only healer. He's the only light. If you're in the dark tonight, He's the light of the world. If you feel alone tonight, I'm telling you, you have one that will stick closer to you than a brother. He's a friend that will never leave you in the storms and in the despair, in the hardships of this world. He can bring healing and forgiveness in our lives as we need it so very much. And I see a congregation of you who have already felt that and known that. And tonight we stand just as much, don't we stand just as much in need tonight as we ever have? I need Him. If I'm going to preach tonight, I need Him. If I'm going to behave myself, I'm going to need Him. And I mean behave in a good way. Behavior can come in all kinds of ways. When you tell somebody to behave, always tell them to behave well. Because you can behave badly, can't you? We can. As a matter of fact, if the Lord doesn't bless us, we will behave badly. But it takes the power and the grace of God for God's little children to behave like they're supposed to, so they can let their light so shine before men that others may see their good works and glorify their Father, which is in heaven. Now, the only way that you and I know any of these things or understand them is because the Lord has blessed us to see them. Now, when He blesses you to see them, you shouldn't shut your eyes. When He blesses you to hear them, you shouldn't shut down your ears. If it's getting really, really cold, y'all, I'm fine. I got a fan blowing on me. I want everybody comfortable as they can be. So do what you want to with that thermostat. I just know this. The Lord, it is the Lord that is the only one who can open up an ear and an eye and a heart to understand. And we give Him all the glory and the praise for that. But we as God's little children tonight, let us be at His feet. Let us be sitting on the bench saying, Lord, feed me. Let us be praying, Lord, bless our preacher to preach. Lord, open my eyes when I can't feel Thee and see Thee, Lord. Let me remember what You've said in Thy Word. And by the faith that Thou hast given me, let me just trust and depend upon Thee. Let me not depend on how I feel. You know, sometimes your feelings can really fool you. I know a lot of people do a lot of wrong things and they felt okay about it at the time. Don't feel so much that way now. But they felt at the time they were doing the right thing. Listen, it's God's Word that will lead us. Don't follow your feelings all the time. Although there is a spiritual heart in us that if we follow that spiritual heart, that spiritual leadership, it'll lead you. And then you say, well, how do I know what's leading me? So have you ever felt like you were following the Lord and yet you weren't? I know we have. How do I know? Well, we're to try the spirits to see whether they be of God. And we try them by the Word of God. And that's certainly also in this passage. He says, I thank Thee, O Father. And who is our Father? I want you to know He's Lord. Tonight you have a mighty God. You might think I'm so far out of reach, nobody can reach down and get me where I am. I'm in so much trouble, nobody can help me. I'm such a mess, I'll never be able to get my life straight. I'm in such trouble. My situation is so bad, there's nothing that can be happening. Listen, if it was me to help you, you'd be right. And if I'm looking to you to help me, or we'd be looking to one another, we'd all be right. But I'm telling you, the one we look to tonight has all power. And our Heavenly Father, here was the Heavenly Father that the Son of God was praying to as our mediator. He came into this world and He's the Lord of heaven and earth. I'm telling you, that means He's the King of kings. He's the Lord of lords. He's the one who has the power and the strength to whatever we might face in this old world. And He says, because thou hast hid these things. He thanked Him. Because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and has revealed them unto babes. You know why God did that? Because He wanted to. And if you can get settled with that part of the doctrines of grace, you can handle the rest of it. Where men have trouble with the truth of salvation by grace and election and predestination is they don't think God has a right to do what God sees fit to do. That He needs to have some agreement with us or check in with us. He doesn't have to check in with me. He doesn't have to check in with you. As a matter of fact, if He did, He'd get bad advice from me or you. Don't mean to be harsh, but that's a reality. Because you see, His wisdom is so far above our wisdom. And His thoughts are so far above our thoughts. The writer in the book of Isaiah says, as high as the heavens are above the earth, His ways and thoughts are above our ways and thoughts. And so it's not Him who needs to conform to us, but it's rather us who needs to be transformed by Him, by and through His grace. Lord, help my mind be where it's supposed to be. Lord, help my heart be where it's supposed to be. Lord, cause me to be that obedient child. I know that, dear Lord, that Thou, I don't have the power. I don't have the might. I've tried this Reformation business, and all I get is, you know, I clean up for a little while, but the next thing you know, I'm right back in the pig pen. I'm telling you, there is one who doesn't just work on the outside to clean it up. There's one who starts on the inside. He's all. If you love Him at all and desire Him at all, you may not wonder. You may wonder tonight, do I really love Him? I'm telling you tonight, if you long to love Him, if you desire to love Him, if you have a hunger and a thirst for Him, there's an evidence that God has worked something in you that the wisdom of this world could not have worked. And He's given you life. And now He's talking to you and teaching you to live that life in a way to honor Him and glorify Him. And it's best for you, but more importantly, it honors Him. See, it gets to be not about this tonight I'm talking about, and a good preacher is not, and I'm not saying I am, but a minister of the gospel that's worth his salt is not going to just say things to you that make you get along better, but rather things that glorify God. But here's the good news for God's little children. Things that glorify God make you get along better. Things that glorify God help your life. Hold your life together. It is like the nails and the nails that hold your life together and the goads that stir you up. It makes your life worth living. A little child of God in this world who forgets the Lord, life becomes such a burden you may even get to the place where you feel like I don't even want to live. If anyone is in that state, listen, there's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother who is able to supply unto you the strength and the wisdom and the ability to do what He would have you to do. And I don't have a clue what that is, but you know, I know this. He knows, doesn't He? He knows. He knows. Jesus knows. He knows where I'm going. He knows the way. He knows what I need to do. He knows how to do it. And He can change things that you cannot change. You may think there's no hope for this. There's no hope. There's no way for this is going to happen. I'm telling you, there's always, He's never brought us into a temptation that He will not, with that temptation, give us a way of escape. And God is faithful, who'll never have us tempted beyond that which we are able. Listen, He'll never have you tried more than you're able. And He'll also provide a way of escape. And that means He'll give us in every situation. God's faithful. Great is His faithfulness. And He'll give you in every situation what you need to handle it and to go through it. And do it in a way to honor and glorify the Lord. Jesus said, even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. That means our God has done these things according to His own good pleasure. He loved His people, chose them, and elected them according to His own good pleasure. He forgave their sins according to His own good pleasure. He loved them, He chose them, and before the very foundation of the world, He loved them in covenant.
He said, he sent his only begotten Son for them. Why? Because it was according to his own good pleasure. And the Lord came, the Son of God came willingly. Why? Because it was pleasing unto the Father. And also, he being in complete agreement with the Father and one with the Father, it was in full agreement with the Son. He came for them as well. And there at Calvary, he went to that cross. And there on that cross, he took every sin that would have separated you from God forever in eternity. He took them in his own body and nailed them to the tree of the cross, every one of his children. And he saved us. And he washed us in his own blood. And our sins had been removed from us as far as the east is from the west. And though we're walking in time in a dead state until he quickens us and makes us alive, we are safe and secure in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And every one of them at some point. Tonight, if you love the Lord, that point's already come for you. If you have a desire to love him more, that point has already come for you. If you have an ear to hear me tonight, and you have an eye to see it and a heart to understand it, that point has already come for you. He's already awakened you, and he has taken up his abode in your heart. Eternal life is dwelling in you, in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he will never leave you, and he'll never forsake you. And that's a promise that he's given to us. Jesus said, "Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight." He said, "All things are delivered unto me, O my Father." The Father is the Lord of heaven and earth. And the Lord of heaven and earth delivered unto the Son all power. All power was given unto him. Not only all power was given unto him, all of the elect family was given unto him. And he had the love for them that was given unto him. He had the power that was given unto him. And it wasn't given unto him as God, because he was verily God. But as the Son of God, as the Son of Man, it was given unto him so that he might come and die for them. And he paid the sin debt for them. And everyone, he said, that the Father give it to me. He said, "I'll lose nothing, but raise it up again at the last day." How many of them are going to come to him? Every one of them. And how are they coming? In regeneration. They're born of his Spirit, made alive, made new creatures in Christ. Then the gospel message goes out, and the gospel message has no benefit to the dead. But if you're alive tonight, that gospel message can mean so very much to you. Because it's like a light shining in a very dark, dark world. You need some light. Do you need some light? The gospel is a light. Do you need some good news? It's like good news from a far country. I need some good news, don't you? Do you need some cold water? Are you thirsty? Are you gotten thirsty and hungry after things that are spiritual, and you've had your fill of this world, fill of the things of it? I need some spiritual food and some spiritual drink. Listen. He said, "Blessed are those that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." And the gospel will shine that light, and it's like cold water to a thirsty soul. This is the gospel, what Jesus did for his children. He said, "Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father." In other words, you can't know Jesus unless the Father reveals him to you. No man, he said, "can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him." And then the promise is, "and I will raise him up again at the last day." Some people say, "Well, God's drawing, but the man won't come." That sounds like God isn't as strong as the man, doesn't it? We know better than that. I'm telling you, when God draws, you know, I might try to draw something and not be able to lift it, but not our God. I might try to pull something, but when God pulls, there's going to be a response, and there's an effectual working of the Holy Spirit in the new birth, where it isn't where God tried to. Some people say God's trying to do this, God's trying to do that. Our God's never tried to do anything. He speaks, and it's done. He works his will among the army of heaven and the inhabitants of the earth, and there is none that can stay his hand or say, "What doest thou?" Our God is in the heavens. He's done what? Whatsoever he hath pleased. Isn't that good? Tonight, that's who we have to trust in. You might feel like, "I don't know what to do." No, you don't, but your Father does. And your elder brother, the Lord Jesus Christ, loved you so much that he came and died. The Father loved you so much that he sent his only begotten Son. And he that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, How shall he not also with him freely give us all things? That means all things that you need that pertain unto life and godliness. You want to live a life to honor God? You want to live a life that's pleasing to God? You want to have your days just not existing, but rather living in a way to honor and glorify Him? Then you take up your cross in your life as He gives you light. You walk in that light. And you'll find grace. And listen, it's not by man's works. It's by grace that you're enabled to do this. If you think you can do it on your own, well, then that gets right back into that work system. And even whether you're trying to work to get through each day or wherever you're putting them, they're going to fail and fall because our works come up short again and again. But by His grace, He'll enable us to work that which we need to work to do that which is pleasing to Him. And that's a daily walk with the Lord. It's really an hourly walk. It's really a moment. It's really a second by second walk. You can be right on track 1 second, and the next minute so very far away. Doesn't take long. So just pray, Lord, keep me near. Draw me near. Keep me close to Thee. Did y'all notice those hymns tonight? Every one of them. Seemed like the same message over and over. Keep me near the cross. There's a precious fountain. Lord, close to Thee. Keep me close to Thee. How much? Take me. Take my hand, precious Lord. Lead me on. Lead me. Direct me. You think that's happenstance? I didn't tell y'all what songs to pick tonight. The Lord's in the matter. We thank Him for that. And He said, all things are delivered to me, unto me of my Father. And no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son. Isn't that good? You can't know the Father without the Son. You know how we can pray? Through the Son. You know how we can have fellowship with God in heaven, who's holy and righteous and perfect? Through the Son. You know how one day we'll be able to live with Him in heaven, where the Father reigns and see the glory of the throne of God as it's pictured in the book of Revelation in all its beauty and the glory and the splendor of heaven. You know how we'll enjoy that? Because of the Lamb of God. Because of the Son of God that takes the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. And that's the same strength that allows us day by day and hour by hour and moment by moment to live in a way to honor and glorify Him. He says, no man knoweth the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal Him. So we're dependent tonight. So very dependent. But oh, what a great, great God we have to depend upon. He said in verse 28, He said, come unto me. Boy, time flies. Come unto me. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. And I'll tell you, God's little children in this world, once you've been born again, this world isn't a friend to you. This world is not your home. This world is not going to be something that makes you feel better. You may try to run with the world and go with the world and do the things of the world, but you're not going to get better. You're just going to get sicker and sicker and worse and more burdened. And the way that God's little children find relief in this time world is coming to a Savior who bids them come. He's talking not just to everybody and hope somebody will come. He's talking to a specific chosen group of people that He has called out of nature's darkness unto His marvelous light, and He's placed a great, great burden in their heart, and they are burdened and they're heavy laden, and He says, come unto me. What do we come to Him for? For everything. We come to Him for our hope of heaven. We come to Him to be able to pray. We come to Him for our understanding, for our knowledge. We come to Him for our wisdom. He has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. And it's done in such a way that all the glory belongs to the Lord. We only can come by His grace. We can only come because He drew us. And so we never get to go, Lord, I'm coming, so therefore You need to bless me because of it. No, you come and you get blessed in it. That's a big difference. A lot of people said, is there blessings for obedience? The answer to that, no, but there's blessings in obedience. And that's a big difference. You see, if He blessed us because of our obedience, that would be something we could pat ourselves on the back for. But we find that in obedience, we find great. Isn't it wonderful? Don't you get blessed when you come to church? Don't you find in coming? You don't get blessed because you came. You know, the disciples on one occasion had said, "Lord, we've forsaken all. What do we get? Because we've forsaken all to follow Thee." And what He said to them, "You already have been given all of these things and the promise of eternal life. In following Him, taking up your cross and follow Him, you will find a great, great peace and a joy and a rest in doing that." And that isn't my words about it. It's what He said. "Come unto Me, all ye that are laboring and heavy laden." Are you there? You come tonight and you just lay it at the throne. Lay it at a throne of grace. Come to Jesus in the sense, not to get, again, I hope you don't miss this. I'm not telling you to come to get life. I can't say it many more times or many more ways, but the world messes it up so bad. We want to be sure that we make it clear and plain. You come because you already have life that's been given to you, but you come to Him not to get life, but to get rest. You come to find that He is the source of our life, but He's already been made alive by His grace and the power. If you heard His words that said, "Come unto Me," if you already are burdened and heavy laden, you already have life, but you need rest. And you'll find rest when you come to the foot of the cross and you say, "My hope is built on nothing less than what Jesus did for me at Calvary. And my home in heaven is secured because of what He did for me. And my strength and my ability to walk the way He would have me to walk comes from Him. Come unto Me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." He said, "Take My yoke upon you and learn of Me." Now this is where God's little children are taught through the preaching of the gospel and the teaching of God's word to be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't call someone that is dead to be alive and then make them a follower. It's those that have already been made alive, but those that are alive need to be taught. And the Lord has given us His word to teach us, and He's called preachers to teach, and He's called us. He's given us the church where we can learn. His word goes forth here, and that's where we can learn to be a follower of Him. And He said, "Take My yoke upon you and learn of Me." And the more you learn about Jesus, you'll find He's meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall what? You're given rest, but then you'll find rest unto your souls. My yoke is easy. It's easy. Now, it's not easy in the old flesh. The old flesh would like to be anywhere else tonight. The old flesh would like to be, you know, "I could have stayed home. I could have been doing this, or I could have been that." I'll tell you, I'd have hated to miss the meeting we've had. I'd have hated to miss the song service that we had tonight. I'd have hated to miss the fellowship. I would have hated to miss the communication we've had in the Lord. This is a sweet, sweet memory. My head is full of lots of memories of occasions in the past where we've met together in just sweet meetings like this, where brethren have preached and we've had fellowship and we've seen tears of joy, tears of happiness, and we've wept with one another. Isn't it good to be at a place where you can cry and don't look so strange? The world will think you strange for weeping over things that you're probably weeping over tonight, but not here. Because here we understand that God's little children weep sometimes, and they cry and they laugh sometimes, and sometimes they weep and they laugh at the same time. There's a mixture. It is a great sorrow in my heart that my sins caused my Savior to be crucified. But I am so very, very thankful that He loved me so much that He was willing to allow them to nail Him to the tree of the cross and to place a crown of thorns upon His head and allow the blood to flow from His body, pure, perfect body that it was only no blemish in that Lamb of God, no blemish whatsoever. And He offered Himself wholly before Almighty God and became that sacrifice that was necessary to stand in my place, in the place of all of His children. And because of that, one day we'll be with Him in glory, in heaven. And if we had only that promise to talk about tonight, that'd be a lot. That would be more than sufficient. But not only that, we're talking about a God who also hasn't He been with you every step of the way? He has. Even when you think He hasn't, He has. Never been a time His eye hasn't been upon you. If you have a desire to love Him tonight, if that is your want to, there's evidence that He has loved you. You love Him because He first loved you, and His love didn't start when you got it together. As a matter of fact, His love for you was while you were yet His enemies. Jesus came and died for the ungodly. I'm telling you, that's the kind of love we talk about
and what the Bible speaks of. He says, my yoke is easy. It's not easy in the old flesh to follow him, but I'll tell you in the spirit, it's easy, isn't it? It's an easy. It's joy unspeakable and full of glory. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. God's little children taking up their cross and following the Lord. I encourage you to do that more and more in one another. Pray for one another. Remember to pray for one another that we would be faithful looking to the Lord. I appreciate your kind attention tonight. I'm just going to close. I got to the end of my verses. That's good. And I just thank the Lord for what he's allowed us to share. Thankful for you and your visitation here tonight. When you have a mind to pray, remember me and God bless you.
Love you, Brother Terry. Thank God for you.
We have 349.
349.